Yep, testing.
An awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power around the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Before I begin, I want to back up what our speakers have said. It'll only take 1 minute. In a world filled with endless sources of information, we believers ought to be developing, and you have developed just a wee bit more than you had when you came, a discerning spirit. The Bible doesn't specifically speak about every problem you're going to face this week. But if you've been in the Word of God, the decision-making is very easy because it's the Holy Spirit that comes and says you should, there's maybe troubled water over that bridge and this one looks pretty easy, but you'll get specific direction about what decision to make. So much of what we see and most of what we hear from the news is not news anymore. And so we have some just a worldly perspective. I don't know how the kids make it through these days. The only way believers can guard against deception is to ground themselves in God's Word. And the more time you spend in God's Word, fast forward again, it'll be easier to make your decision. The goal, let God's Word become such an integral part of your thinking that it guides your decisions. Even if that situation, I went over that a minute ago, it's found in John 14:26. He's our helper. The Holy Spirit's our helper. It's His job to guide me. After all, He doesn't want this holy temple, which it has become. It's a temple of God. He doesn't want it dirtied up. However, our responsibility, now we've heard a lot, put into our minds, into our hearts this weekend, so God's Spirit can bring it to your remembrance. But if that's it, and you start tomorrow, and Julius laid on this one pretty heavy, the fire will go out. So let's be careful that the fire doesn't go out. Let's get heated up a little. Start every day reading and memorizing and examining, and if your memory's gone like mine, read the Word of God anyway. And if this is your measure on the scale, you're watching the Chicago Bears for 3 hours, and is that the right team? And you're spending 15 minutes in the Word, like on Sunday, probably isn't going to work too good. Listen, I have one brief story before I get started. Chris, a lady about 70 years old, had a back operation. So my wife and I are in the visitor, St. Mary's Hospital, just 60 days ago. And we saw her, and she said, I can't walk. I said, what do you mean you can't walk? Is it okay if I lay here?
How old are you anyway?
I'm too weak to hold it. She said, I can't walk. And my wife and I walked out of the hospital room after we told goodbye. And I said to my wife, you know what? The devil's been talking to her. And she can't walk. I said, why don't we challenge him? And so, I don't know, I'm not sure if we went home or not. But we went back in and we I'm sorry I didn't give her verse 12, but I gave her 13, and most of you know that. Philippians 4:13. What's that say?
I can do all things through Him.
Do you know what it says just before that? I have learned, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned a process, the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether I'm well-fed or hungry, whether I'm living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I went back in and I said, Chris, the devil's been talking to you. Okay. And he's been telling you you can't walk. You're a Christian. You know Christ as Savior. The book says, I can do all things who strengthens me. So just kind of fast forward and fill in the people. Next day we come, visit her again. She said, hey, I walked 33 feet but from here to the back door. And that was late in that afternoon of the day before. And she said, this morning I walked 66 feet. Now it's 75 feet from her door to the dining room. And inside of 48 hours, she did what she couldn't do, because she's now resting her case, you know, in the hands of the Lord. And she, it's like you turn a light bulb on, and she was just from, you know, just like that. And it was a done deal. And so we're pretty close friends now. I'm going to give just a brief testimony. By the way, this is you guys' time, so I don't want to take any of it, but I got to take a couple of minutes of it. And I want you to come up here, give a little testimony about what the Word is, the week has meant to you. And if you've come to know Christ, come and tell us that, and I'll challenge you in a minute. This has been advertised by our administrator that this is the 70th annual
Midwest
Retreat.
I came to my first one in 1951. I'm not very good at math, but I subtracted 70 and, you know, and I figured out that it was 1947 when the first one was held. And I was here on the fourth one, or was it the fifth one? 51 would be the fifth one, I guess. And a Christian businessman by the name of Theo McCauley grabbed me by the collar and took me. I was happy to go. And we came to Capuana down at Fredonia, Wisconsin. Oh, the facilities were very modern. I mean, there'd probably be room for you and you and you and me to peepee, you know. They had a trough about 6 feet long. And the facilities, 2x4s, some boards on the roof. They called it a little cabin. No heat, one light bulb sticking down in the middle of the room, and the temperature dropped to 32. And there's no mattresses. I mean, there's no blankets. And there's a couple extra mattresses and we covered up, but you know, with your feet and your elbows sticking out, boy, by 2 o'clock you're about stiff. And the guys went out the car and started their engines and got them cranked up. And about the second year, I invited my neighbor to come. And you know, you don't think you're judgmental, Oscar, but you are. And you are too. And mentally, we say, oh, that guy's way up here. Let me say, morally. In other words, he's pretty got his act together, doesn't beat his wife, and so forth. And others of you might say, if you're in the banking field, you say, you know, that guy has really got his act together in the financial field. We make judgments about people. All of us do it. And so I asked Ray Russell to come in, my next door neighbor, and we went to the same church together. Morally, I had him way up here. Here it is Sunday morning, and communion's going to be served. And Walter Olenberg's up here, and he must have been 92 back then, because he was about my age as what I am now. And he went through the same scripture that the Julius went through this morning. Only he was a little more definitive. He said, now listen, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, or if you've been a bad boy, might be better if you didn't take communion, kind of thing. He put the fear of God in us. And he said, if there's anybody here that's not a Christian and you'd like to take communion with us, now'd be a good time to receive Christ as Savior. And so anybody out there like that? My neighbor stood up. And so across the crowd, he led him to the Lord, right, like, boy, that's emotional even today.
Wow.
Can't believe it. Boy, I tell you, that place heated up in a hurry. You know, the Spirit of God just swept across that place, much like he's been doing here. It was wonderful. So, the riot years came along, and forgive me, you guys, you can put your earplugs on if you're black, but God, I had decided when I came from the farm, I wondered what integration, segregation, all that's about, and so I decided when I got out of college I was going to work in the black community, which I did for 40, 50 years. Had more black friends than I did white. And I got a recipe card, put 7 names of black men on it, put it in the drawer right under my phone. I'd be working, doing something, and the Holy Spirit would drop a name down into my mind. And I'd pull my drawer open and look at his phone number and dial him. Would you like to go to retreat? And I'd tell him about it. All 7 of them said yes. All 7 of them came. Wow. Oh, we changed the color of this place.
Wow.
Well, was it here? Yeah, I guess it was. It was here. And this guy was one of them that came. Well, maybe not the first year. But his friend Lou Flowers came. And Mal, Lou got swept away the first meeting. Ted DeMoss was talking in that old place west of the barn up there. She came in the entry gate. And, well, I'll pass all that. He just came to know Christ as Savior. And then he came to know Oscar. And I hope Oscar might say something about that later. But it was part of the guys grabbing a man and saying, hey, you ought to come with me. And they came. Let's get on with it. I was going to say something else about the facilities at Camp Awana. Then you got to sponge off on ice cold water under a couple of faucets. And that was
character building.
That was a good time. Refreshing. I want guys that have learned something, not only in their head but in their hearts, to come up here. And if you get to preaching on us, you won't last long, because I'm going to be jerking your shirt tail. We want to know what God's done for you. I don't want you telling these guys how to live. I just want you to tell us what Christ has done in your life. Because the clock keeps ticking away, and I don't know where time goes, but they'll still have food for us when we get there. So if you've got something to say about, let's say, this retreat and how it's affected you, please, I want you to come up here. I don't know what your name is. I know we prayed for you. Would you be the first one? Looky there, we got a volunteer already.
Give him that microphone, you.
Give him the microphone?
Yeah, when he comes.
Am I being heard?
Yeah, you're being heard.
Reasonably
he may not.
So now, while he's coming, I want you to come up the side aisle. Yeah. We got this in blocked here.
Too?
That's my apple there. Anybody that wants to polish my apple, it's right there.
I'm not polishing anybody's apple. Just to get started.
Tim Simpson.
That's me. Thank you. Hello. Thanks for having me. Again, this was my first test of my wife and kids going away and leaving me home for the weekend, and so I have a whole schedule. I have a schedule every single day of what I'm going to be doing, checkpoints with people. So I have a whole plan in place. And I'm Christian. I've been a Christian for a long time. I grew up differently. My grandmother was a Southern Baptist, so church was a little different than what I attend now, than what I used to attend. Dancing doesn't just mean standing up anymore, if you will. So I am blessed. I didn't know what I was going to do this weekend. I have plans for next weekend, and I have plans for the weekend after that. But this weekend was wide open. My first day back to work was this Monday, and so I was nervous, of course. And so I just started Googling men's retreats, Christian retreats, things like that. And I found this retreat.
Wow!
Yeah. I looked at it and I said, well, I was reading, you know, they said 400 people had attended in the past, you know, at one time, and saw the beautiful lakes, and then, but then I saw the different speakers that were going to be presenting. And I said, that's nice. It's not all just spiritually based by people who are professional pastors, if you will, but there are some of that as well that are included in it. And there are those that are coaches and other things that presented as well. It had a nice piece about Ray on there and how he brings music to it. And so I read it and I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go. And she said, well, where is it? I said, I have no idea. I said, it can't be that far from Chicago. Even if it's at the top of Wisconsin, the most it's going to be is 7 hours of a drive. So I said, I'm going to go. And I called the number. And I got John's wife, I think it probably was.
Well, John's not married, so
no. No, it wouldn't be John's wife.
What about a marriage, John?
It was the young lady who's selling the book over there in the room. Good and room. So I got her, and so she said, I said, is there still room? Because I didn't know. She said, yeah, we can fit you in. And I said, okay. And so she said, well, do you want to make a deposit? I said, no, I'm going to confirm. I'll come. I said, just put it on my card. And I said, I'll see you guys. So then I waited, and I didn't get anything. And now it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I called her, and I said, it's me again. She goes, well, we mailed something out, and she said, you should have got it. Well, I ended up getting it the next day. I think it just took a little while to get down to Illinois. And but she said, here's where you got to be. Here's what time you have to be. I said, what should I bring? She said, bring your Bible. That's what she told me. And I said, clothes? Is it a casual thing? Is it a fancy thing? I was trying to look at the pictures to see because I didn't know. And she said, nope, it's as casual as you want to be. She said, it can be flip-flops to suits. So I said, okay. So that was very nice. And so Friday, I woke up, I did a little bit of work. I packed my clothes up, kissed my wife and babies, and said, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. They'll be back October 8th. And I jumped in the car and drove up here, and I had no idea what to expect. This is the first retreat I ever went to. I went independently. I didn't know how's it going to work, and who's going to be my roommate. Are these guys going to be crazy? am I going to be too crazy for them? You know, so it was the unknown, but I've been going through a lot of changes lately, and I'm just jumping feet first in. In everything that I'm doing now, and immersing myself in the different opportunities and the different styles of change. You know, it's hard for me. I shared with you guys last night because they tell you you need to change your friends, the places you go, and the things you do. But I can't do that because none of my friends and family members are like me. And that would mean to remove myself from all of them. So I can't do that. I need to change and fit back into a normal person's society, if you will, and a normal person's way of doing things. And so that's what I've been doing. And I had a nice talk just now with Yun Moon, and shared some thoughts and prayed for me and with me. And so I'm hoping that I'll see him next year because I just signed up to come back next year.
What's God said to you?
Yep. So what God has said to me is several different things. My roommate, I had no idea he was a beautiful singer, but when he came in, he was carrying stuff like this. And I said, let me give you a hand. He goes, no, I got it. I said, well, let me at least get the elevator. And so I opened the elevator for him. I go, what floor? He goes, 3. I said, okay, so we got off on 3. I go, what room are you in? And he goes, 316.
316.
The number, and he's my roommate. And I said, I can do even better than that. I said, I'll open the door for you. And so we were roomies, and he left me a beautiful note this morning. The other thing, just by coincidence, I was talking at a table with somebody about where I happen to live. There are no coincidences. Somebody here told me that there's God incidences. And so they overheard where I lived, and this young man and his son Jake, he said to me, oh, you live in Mount Prospect. He said, yeah. I go, yeah. He goes, can you give me a ride? I'm like, of course. And he said, and I didn't know where at first. And then he told me where, and I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to be going right by there, no problem. So those kinds of signs and things are showing me what God's doing for us. Thank you guys for having me.
Now, if you had a prayer request, what would that be?
I have to think about that right now.
No, you don't. You told us freely last night.
Well, no, my prayer is really is that I can rebuild the relationship with my wife to the point that it should be and where it should be at, with myself thinking clearly, and that my wife and family stay healthy, and that I continue to have a close relationship with God.
Just stand there a minute. Oscar's going to pray for you.
Thank you, Oscar. This is voluntary also.
And Father, how great you are. You are awesome. We thank you for your sovereignty, knowing that you know exactly who we are, you know where we are, you know the things that we have experienced thus far at this conference. We thank you for bringing Tim here for this first time. And I believe that he has received something, so we give you thanks for what you have done. We pray that you would just minister to him in a very, very special, very profound way. And those are things that maybe stand between he and his wife, that they'll find ways to mend that relationship, and that he can begin to grow and lead his wife and a family, if he has one, the direction that you will be pleased with. So we thank you for his time here, and we pray that you have given him something that he can go back home and he can feast on. And then next year, he won't come alone. He'll bring some other men along with him. So we give you thanks for Tim in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Let me just say this. Howard talked about 1951 was his first time coming here. I was 20 years later, but my 20 years behind him was 1971 when I first had my experience here. And it's because Howard talked about the race riots that went through in the 60s. And because of the race riot, Howard was motivated to say, the black man is saying something. I don't have any black friends. And the Lord pushed him out there and got some other guys who happened to be friends of mine. And they came here with Howard. And I think one or two of them accepted the Lord while they were here. And you know, there's power in God's word, man. There's power in God's word. And when those men came back to my place of business, was a wholesale liquor store, and walked into my place and shared with me that he came to know the Lord Jesus. And I said, boy, you know, he stopped buying my stuff by the cases. I lost a customer. But when he left out, I say, fine. But when he left out, I said, I'm missing something. This man talked about Christ as though he has a relationship with him. I don't have that. I attend church, but I'm not rightly related to God through Jesus. I went to this man's office December 17, 1970. I accepted the Lord Jesus as a result of this retreat here. And you know what, men? When we go back, don't come here alone next year. Bring some men with you. Men, we need to hang together. We need to be more men exposed to this. And I block everything out. When I know the retreat, I just block everything out. And I'm going to try my best to bring, well, I pray about it, bring 5 or 6, 10 men every year. More men need to be exposed to this. I wouldn't miss it for nothing. Thank you, Howard.
Now Bob Conklin's going to come. I'm giving him 12 seconds to give us the dates that you need to sign up, block out on your calendar.
All right, next year, October is when the retreat will be. They have some big event happening here in September. We were okay with October 5th to 7th, 2018. Somebody has a calendar, check and make sure I'm remembering that right. But Vince?
Bring your jackets next year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, next year we'll try to cool it off a little bit. This year was crazy.
All right.
Is that right, though? 5th to 7th? Is that the weekend?
First weekend of October.
First full whatever weekend of October,
whatever.
5th to 7th.
You're right. The dates are right.
Excellent.
Yeah, 3 seconds over.
And Tim, you should think about coming Tuesday morning up to Milwaukee. Do you have time with work and stuff?
I can work out of those offices.
Yeah. Yeah, come on up and have breakfast Tuesday morning.
Have breakfast.
Oscar fixes a mean breakfast, even at Grits. Yeah, then you can stay connected with us. Might be a real stabilizing thing. It's at 8:30.
Thank you.
Easy to drive up.
We'll treat you to a breakfast.
Yeah. All right, who's next? I want two or three guys lined up. Over here, left side, right side. Young people, old people, women, men.
Come on, children.
Come on. You can be an old timer.
Go.
Oh, that's just a slight tip. What's your name?
My name is Jeff.
Jeff Stark. Go ahead, talk to us. How come you're here? I mean, we got his arm out of the sling last week.
No, I've had a few health challenges, and I know that the only thing that got me through them was God. The only thing. I shouldn't be here, but I am.
Love it.
My buddy Howard here, he prayed with me. He prayed for me. And a lot of my friends prayed for me a lot. And that was the only thing that tipped the scale. It was. And I have no doubts whatsoever that that's the only thing that got that kept me here. No doubt.
Anything else? What one thing stands out about this weekend? Is this the first retreat?
My first retreat. It's just everything that's positive. And, you know, it's just a lot of love for each other. A lot of the people, well, all the people here, they just pray for you and love you without reservation.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. Oh, by the way, if you have one request now. By the way, how long were you out of work?
2 years.
2 years out of work. Tomorrow morning's the first day on the new job.
Thank you.
So first of all, God healed him, and then he's helping him. Now he's beginning to stack up the blessings because of turning his life over.
I'm speechless.
Okay. I won't bug you.
That's okay.
That's Jeff Stark. So we praise the Lord for the change we've seen in your life.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank all you. Thank everybody.
Amen. 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 God bless you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. I think in a word, I am like filled and overwhelmed and don't know what to say. Filled. I carry a lot of burdens, heavy things. And but that's not the important thing. The important thing is what was expressed here. A relationship with the Lord Jesus is what I rely on, get my strength from, my hope from. I want to give thanks for the people in my life, for example, Oscar, but men who have reached out to me, who brought Jesus to me. We are gifted.
Yes.
My prayer and hope is I ask for the grace for God to allow me to bring His presence to the world.
Amen.
Fearlessly. To my family. Yeah. I have prayers that I would like to have answered. But I trust.
What are they? Give us one.
Well, I'm looking for a church home.
Kind of just give the neighborhood you live in and somebody out there. Will...
Milwaukee. I'm looking at a church, you know, that's pretty nice.
And northwest side?
No, south. South. South, yeah.
Southwest side.
So I'm looking for a church. The other thing that is, I usually am quiet. I was raised that way to, you know, this is personal, private. I know that's not right. But that's how I'm built. And I love my parents. That's how they were. But anyway, that's what I'm praying for, that I can be God's presence.
I want somebody to respond. I was looking for Roman for some reason or other to tell us how he could unload the burdens that are his and let somebody else carry them. I want an address in the Bible about how to unload the burden. Has somebody got it?
Yes. I got a song that says, cast all your care over on Jesus. He cares for you. Yeah. He wants to bear them. But so many people won't let go. I'm unforgivable and all that kind of stuff and with guilt in there. But unless someone comes to the place that they let them go, you've got to let them go. And He will truly, truly take care of them.
There's Roman at the door.
Well, Mark, do you have a verse?
Not off the top of my
head. This is kind of a give and take place. We need to be helping each other. And my mind doesn't come up with a verse.
Psalm 55:22.
Psalm 55:22, right?
Try Psalm 55:22.
What does it say?
Cast your burdens upon the Lord, He will sustain you. You will never allow the righteous to be shaken.
Say it one more time.
Psalm 55:22. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. You will never allow the righteous to be shaken.
Okay, and He will sustain you. And then never allow what?
Okay.
Sometimes it's either said than done. Oh, all you got to do is this or that, or turn it over to the Lord, and that's almost too easy sometimes, and we still don't know how to do it. But anyhow, we're going to pray for you, Jim. Father in heaven, I thank you for this testimony, and. Whatever those burdens are, you know all about them already. And I believe you're putting your arms around Jim to say, hey, I'll help you carry those, or I'll carry them for you. And so, Lord Jesus, I just ask you whatever methodology you want to use, that you would use it now, so that by the end of the lunch hour, he'll know how to get rid of those burdens. I pray in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every other name. Amen.
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 Next.
Matthew 11:28-30.
Well, after this weekend, everybody should know by now my name is James Williams.
28.
Matthew 11.
I started at the prayer breakfast at Oscar's prayer breakfast about 6 years ago. And once I retired, I said to myself, now what I'm going to do, you know, I just kept getting up like I was going to work.
What?
And a friend of mine named Jeff Copeland, he said, well, why don't you come to the prayer breakfast with me? So I went there and I was just so excited the first day that I've been going there ever since. It's been 6 years now. But during the 6 years, every year Oscar would say, we got this man's retreat coming up. You know, I'm gonna get as many men that he could to get here. And another year go by, he mentioned the man's retreat, you know. The third year, the fourth, the fifth. And then this year, it's just something laid heavy on my heart. I was sitting at the house, and I just said, I think I want to go. I want to experience this. So I gave him a call, and he said, yes, I'll bring you out here. And, you know, when I'm here, this is how God wants us to live like this on this earth. Everybody sharing, caring, praising him. Now, once we leave here, we know what the real world is out there. But we carry this with us out there and be a beacon of light for those people that are in the dark. And I am so grateful to be here and get to see and know everybody. Because you know something? I was meant to be here just the same way you guys were.
Amen.
I don't give special delivery service to everybody. You've got legs to stand on, get up on them.
That's right.
Well, you want to say the benediction? Go home.
Everyone's starving.
Yeah,
starving Marvin.
I'm sure there's somebody that wants to say something. Here he comes. If you're waiting and you leave this place and you say, oh, I wish I'd have gotten up, come on up here. Richard.
I hear a lot of stomachs growling, so I'll keep it short. Hi, I'm Rick Sluss from Milwaukee. I came up here back in the 90s, I believe it was, and some of you older fellows will know a gentleman by the name of Jerry Miller. He took me under his wing, and I thank God for that man. He put up with a lot. Because back then, I was nobody to deal with. I had problems with seizures, taking drugs. I couldn't think. I came from a broken family. All that stuff that you guys don't want to know about that happened to me. And I don't like standing up here. But I thank God I'm able to look you in the eyes, and I have nothing to worry about now.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but coming up here, there's peace in my heart. And if I have to keep coming back for more, I will. But for another thing, over the past 50 plus years, I've been taking a variety of drugs for seizures, and it burned out my brain, and I had to go for brain surgery. And I'm back down to one drug now, and I'm doing much better. I came out this weekend. I don't have to bring any drugs. It's fantastic.
Yes, it really is.
Thank you, Richard. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord set a hedge of protection around you and send somebody out of the woodwork to walk with you wherever you live and wherever you fellowship. We're thankful for this man and for his faithfulness to you. And I pray now for health and healing. I want you to touch him head to foot, shoulder to shoulder, and I pray that all of his organs might make beautiful music until the day you call him home.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Since you won't talk, I don't see anybody standing. I'm just going to give you the tip of the iceberg. I was discipling four guys. They were coming to my house every week. Well, I'm not going to mention their names. I was because, but you'd think I was posting. So I'll just tell you that one of the guys had a wife that was came from Mexico, from Guadalajara. And so she was Spanish speaking. In fact, she didn't want to go to women's Bible studies because you gringos talk so fast. And I can't get it. And so my wife is discipling her, and she says, "Now, Rachel, what one thing in your life is happening that you need, only God could do it?" And she said, "Mi papa, prison, Mexico, 14 years. And the more they prayed, the more I felt I would have to go. They're not going to send one of these women to a kind of a, yeah, prison in Mexico. So, fast forward, I bought a round trip ticket to Mexico. And I flew into Guadalajara. And I roomed there with some missionaries. And I keep contacting the family. And the family didn't want anything to do with Onet because it was going to expose their sin. And so I was having, excuse me, a hell of a time getting into prison. In fact, I wasn't going to get there unless some relative went with me to that prison. It was out 78 miles from Guadalajara in the mountain country. And so finally, and I got a job to do back home. I don't have millions like, what's his name? In fact, buying this ticket was kind of tough. And so I think it was the third day before I was going to come home, and Oton, the 17-year-old son of the guy that's in prison, I talked to him personally through an interpreter by phone. Oh, he knew a little English. And so he said, "I'll go with you out to see my dad." And so I thought, wow, great. So I get a nice white shirt on and blue pants about the color of this shirt. And we get to this kid's house, and he came to. I never met him before in my life. And he said, "You can't go out there like that, dress like that." I said, "What's wrong with my dress?" He said, "The guards dress in blue pants and white shirts." And he's carrying an AK-47 over there on his shoulder. So that's the picture, see? So I said, "Okay, what am I going to do?" And he said, "Come on in the house. I'll find you a shirt." So he hands me the shirt. And I take off my shirt, and I put his on, and they pulled it, and there's a logo on the pocket. Harley Davidson. I put on that Harley Davidson shirt, and I headed with him out to the prison. So we get out there, and after going through the turmoil of just getting in, there's a woman guard behind a desk there, and she's got boots up to here and an AK-47 over her shoulder. And she says, "You're not going in there today. There's a fight out there. And come back next week." I said, "Wait a minute, ma'am. I came 3,000 miles to see this guy. I can't come back next week." Now, we had prayed in the car. None of this stuff. And so we're kind of locked in now, right? And so we thought, well, we'll go see that guard, and we see another guard back there, and we went around and we kind of polished some apples, you know, and told them how bad we needed to get. And finally, we found a friendly guy, and he said, "Come on, I'll get you." They got me in a little room of just boards, nailed to 2x4s, and it was about 6 feet by 6 feet, the guard and I, and a little table, and I had a big fat letter from his daughter that I had in my pocket, and I said, "If you want to open it, go ahead." I had just a letter from his daughter, and so anyhow, I passed muster and I got in. When we got through the final gate to this big yard, we're carrying a couple of bags of food because they don't have mealtime at the prison. You've got to have a couple of pesos to buy chicken off the lady that comes in every day and grills it over charcoal. And I thought, Lord, these guys are running at me. And a guy with me said, don't sweat it. He said, they just want to carry our bags. And when they got there, they said, can we carry your bags? And they just wanted to earn a couple of pesos. So we're walking behind these three prisoners, and they're going out, Franco Otto, Franco Otto. And we got down to what I suspect later was maximum security. And here's a guard, he's inside the fence. And you know, the turn gate is there. And the other guy, the client, they're arguing like hell. And then I heard the AK-47 go, click, click. And the guy backed off. 2 minutes? That'll be difficult. And anyway, the guard turned to us, they said, okay, you can go in now. And so, fast forward, I got to see Otto Franco Castro was his name. And I had written out the Roman road the best I knew. And about the only word I know was peccato, is sin. And I filled that into the Roman road thing, Romans 3 and so forth. 90 minutes later, by the way, it was 4'9" tall, built like a brick wall. And the glasses were splashed on one side. Horn-rimmed glasses, black. And we're sitting side by side, and every word I'm saying is being translated. And he said he wanted to receive Christ as Savior. I already knew before I went that he wanted to do that, or would by the time I got there, because there was people praying. And God had allowed me to spend quite a bit of money to buy that round trip ticket. And he stood up and he said he wanted to pray to receive Christ as Savior. And I had the joy of leading this guy to the Lord. Now, he went kind of nuts for Jesus. I got to leave a lot of it out. But he went to chapel once, and he's sitting next to my friend Otto that I had introduced to the Lord, and he had prayed to receive Christ. And Otto went nuts for Jesus. Every word out of his mouth was Jesus this and Jesus that. And he asked the drug cartel guy if he wanted to get acquainted with Jesus. And the guy said, go to hell. He said, I don't want your Jesus. He said, I can get out of here in one night, make $1,000 a crack. And so he let him go. 2 weeks later, here's the drug cartel guy again. He said, I've been watching you. He said, nobody could change like you unless God helped him. He said, how do I find God? Otto, 2 weeks old, just a babe yet, didn't know anything. He did have a dirty old Bible in his cell, which I can't describe to you just now because of time, but he told him about Jesus, and the guy received Christ as Savior. And so now they're in the chapel a second and third time, and he received Christ as Savior, the drug cartel guy. So his name went on the list. You know what happens to the mafia guy? Once you quit the mafia, you're dead meat. So they're in the chapel on a Thursday. It was visitor's day. The wife and two children of the drug cartel guy are out in the parking lot. They had just left. They had just visited him. Now they went to chapel. Back door opens, two guys with revolvers come in. Now remember, they're in the prison. And the guy turned around and he saw him and he said, oh, not in here. He expected to be killed. And he may have stood up because Otto says, they blasted him with their revolvers and he fell dead over the altar rail. Blood splattered all over the chapel. Otto says he said about four words before he died, or while he died, I love you, God.
Wow.
Wow.
That's real.
Satan came the next morning, said, Howard, you killed that guy. Yeah, I sure did. And it went up instead of down.
That's right.
And that's enough for me. So, please stand with me. And we're going to sing, Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And amen, guys. I love you.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Have a good lunch.
Is it 12:30?
Yeah, yeah. Mute up for lunch.
Thank you, Austin.
Leave right home.
What?
Leave right home. Leave right home.
See you next year.
See you next year. Bring somebody with you.
You're gonna call.
Oh, yeah. There's a basket right on the table out there. You just drop the keys in there.
The grandson, and he's ministering to people in the military all the time. And his group has somebody in Okinawa.
You need some help? Because I make the same noise when I bend over.
Ask somebody, whoever you came with, and I want them or you to write down your son's band and the base that he is on in Okinawa.
I don't know.
Well, it's your prison.
You'll find it. Is it an air base?
No, he's a Marine.
No, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I know.
Is that,
for
the finishing is that your band?
CBR, yeah.
Yeah. No, they're no good.
Okay. Well,
Yes.
I want you to write his name down at lunch and see that I did it before you leave, will you?